Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I've got Clint McPherson here with me. What's up, man?
Not much, brother. Just continuing this momentum that we got going with our podcast and just living that entrepreneur life, just like it says on my hat, man. So let's go ahead and kick this thing off, though, by welcoming our special guest today, Lucas Liu, to the show. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, man. Great to have you on the show. Very excited to talk to you about your entrepreneurial journey. Before we get into everything, can you just give our audience just a quick overview of who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah. So I co-founded this company with my partners in Chicago. We're a restaurant technology business. We focus on self-ordering technology, digitalize the customer engagement for a quick service restaurant. So it's we create this self-order kiosk, very similar to what you guys see in the McDonald's, but more towards the small to mid-size restaurants. Small to mid-size restaurants. Yeah, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Nice, man. So, I mean, with that said, Lucas, I mean, I own a digital marketing agency, and I work with several restaurants myself, but you currently as the CEO and co-founder of Infinite, I mean, our journeys all start somewhere, right? Can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about entrepreneurship specifically that you're excited about?
Sure. This is not the first time I started a entrepreneurship. I used to own a restaurant in Chicago. And I did management. So that's the first time I came across to this entrepreneurship, even though it's a restaurant, but it is an entrepreneur experience. And combining that experience with my, I studied a lot of technology stuff in school. I have a PhD degree in computer engineering. So I want to combine my background in restaurant business together with my technology background. So that's why I'm doing this. Restaurant technology right now, so very excited with a lot of information from my previous experience and with a team, many great engineers. So we are moving forward really fast on this in this route. Yeah,
and it sounds like you had an entrepreneurial mindset from the start, starting your own restaurant. I think that's probably one of the hardest businesses that you can own, I think, is, it's a tough, the restaurant industry is really tough. You got to keep it as simple as possible and the cost down, and, you've got employees to worry about. I mean, what was that experience like compared to, what you're doing now with the tech company?
A lot of similarities, the operation, even though the products are different, but so the similarity is you need to do more like operation. It's just different kinds of operation, but it is operation in general. You need to do marketing, HR, all these type of stuff. Very similar. The biggest difference is a product. The products are different. So how you actually roll out your products are different. In a restaurant, you normally don't change much about your product. You have a very good item. You just keep it the same standard, and you make sure everybody has the same taste what they used to have, and that's very important. Or for the technology company, you need to be more like agile mindset. You need to consistently roll out new features and then test it, modify it, and then make sure it's consistent. And then you keep integrating, upgrading and all these. So that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. That makes sense. But it's interesting that there's such a correlation, you know, to that, really, to a lot of businesses, is from an operational standpoint. You know, even if the product and the service is different, you've still got to have a great product or a great service. You still have to have the right resources in place, and you still have to continue to develop that product and, you know, improve upon it. So that's interesting. Kind of set good segue into my next question is, you know, developing a product like InfoKiosk, which is your point of purchase kiosk system for restaurants, right? That would be a daunting task. That wouldn't be an easy thing to develop, because you've got mechanical, firmware, software components all in the same product. How much were you able to rely on your engineering degree to do yourself, and how much did you have to outsource to team members or to product development firms? How did you get through all that?
It has different layers, as you said, the firmware and also the software that run, like more like an application that is how the self-ordering system runs. So for the firmware, we rely on the partners. It's an Android system, so you know, it's Android. It's not like a system that run on like regular Android phones. It's a special edition of Android. So that special edition, we don't create it. We license it from the partners. So that's a major part we rely on. And the hardware, we don't manufacture the hardware. We have a manufacturer partner, and they manufacture the hardware for us. You know, the hardware is pretty hard. And it's not very good, very easy to start a startup with a hardware. But we do modify the hardware. Say if a restaurant wants to really customize the color, really trying to customize the outlook of the kiosk, we can modify that part that's kind of easy. But you know, for a restaurant, you just want a standard kiosk. We don't manufacture that part. And then for the software, regarding the engineering side, the rest of the software are developed by us. We are not just doing the self-ordering like a menu board. You just type and order. We do a lot. So that's the easy part. Actually, we do a lot of software regarding the integration with the existing restaurant technology ecosystem created by the big players such as Square, Clover. Those are the, you know, the major players. We do a lot of integration with them, and that's the hard part. And also the payment integration. You know, every time they order something, they need to pay, right? So we need to integrate those parts standardize those parts with the industry players. And also we do a lot of data mining. So because every touch, when people order, every touch on the machine, there's a lot of data generated. So we collect those data and we do customized recommendations for the future customer, for the same customer, for different customers. So those are the major things we focus on.
Okay. Does that incorporate some like artificial intelligence?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Our algorithm is totally based on deep learning, and we, because that's the future. It's very, yeah. It's not a human based recommendation, like normal suggestions. Like you order a burger, as a human being, I know you might wanna a drink or something. But it's our algorithm is totally self-learned. So it's the behavior, like you order this, and based on the suggestion, we suggest you something similar. Your veggie, we suggest you the veggie component. If you like beef, we suggest you the beef component.
Exactly. Yeah, like some, it might, if you order a burger, the obvious recommendation might be fries.
Yeah. exactly.
You know, but if you've ordered a bunch of times before and you always order a burger and a salad, then it could, you know, it gets, starts to learn your patterns and starts to learn. Or maybe you order fries every day except for Thursday, and it's Thursday and it says, hey, do you want, you know, instead of fries, do you want your salad because it's Thursday or something like that. So
yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a big thing, and your behavior will provide those insights to the operators so that they can manage their menus much better. You know, they cut down wanted items, they change the layout, they change the images. You know, they know what they need to focus more based on those data. So that's the restaurants.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. Mm-hmm. For sure. I think being able to integrate all of that stuff gives you more flexibility too, right? I mean, over the long run, when you're able to reach out and have platforms like it, you're able to integrate with Square, you know, a lot of small businesses use that, right? And that really shows that you are small business minded as well, as far as like helping the small medium sized businesses, which is really cool, because there's not a lot of companies that really try to focus on small businesses. They're always focused on the medium to larger businesses where they can possibly get as much money as possible. But man, we got to realize, as entrepreneurs, and if you're in the technology space or in the restaurant niche, like you currently are with your technology product or your physical product, I mean, you can really help them level the playing field, and it makes it a lot easier for them.
Yeah, because I used to be a small business owner, and I know there's not too much people helping us. Everybody is trying to help McDonald's, trying to help Panera, trying to help Dunkin' Donuts. No, nobody's trying to help my business, and it's only just a limited like products I can choose. Otherwise, everything starts to become super expensive, and nobody can afford. So we are trying to break this, because you know, kiosk is not something like new. You know, like kiosk, people already know you can order from a kiosk, which saves people labor, but they don't know is. Why thousands small businesses in the United States are not using kiosks? You know, there's a lot of reasons they're not using the kiosks, because you know, for the reasons nobody's targeting those, helping, really trying to create a solution for the small businesses. So that's why we're trying to do that.
Yeah, you see them in airports popping up all over the place. Like, before the pandemic, when I was flying around, like I would see all these airports, they all had kiosks, and they all started having kiosks, and even like, you know, tables with every seat had basically a tablet where you could order food. It wasn't a full kiosk. So obviously, you know, it didn't dispense the food, but you could order, you could play games, you could do all this stuff. And yeah, but you don't see that, like you said, you don't see that level of attention for smaller businesses and something that is cost effective and that you can prove a good ROI for a small business. Larger businesses are concerned about that for sure, but you know, sometimes they're not as cost sensitive, especially when it comes to, you know, to new tech. So, yeah, I think you're doing a great job of focusing in on those small businesses and restaurants and getting, you know, trying to get them on board with something like this, because it really levels the playing field and it makes things more efficient, and reduces bottlenecks in the restaurant service. So it's very cool.
So Lucas, I mean, outside of, you know, with Infinite, right, your physical products, the Infinite kiosk, right? But that's not the only services you provide. You also provide, you know, website development, mobile app development, and marketing services as well for restaurants, which is huge, right? Because you're really leveraging your physical product. You got digital products, which helps you probably upsell in a lot of ways. But how have you been able to leverage the digital services to complement your physical product, which is that self-service info kiosk I just mentioned?
So basically, for a small business, they're very busy, but they do want to like improve their digital service, like all at the same time. You know, like they want to have online ordering, they want to have a kiosk ordering. Someone maybe they grow bigger. They want their own application. They want their own mobile app, and to increase their retention, you know. And we because you know all those are just different ordering channels. And we since we're doing the kiosk, and we had our team is capable of doing the web ordering and the a mobile app ordering at the same time. So we're just say why not? We just build this all three in one channel for us. You know, like normally small business doesn't have the money to get all this. But if you are a small chain that you have six locations, they are looking for something like this. So they need to manage everything together. Everything is integrated with their existing system, and which is really good, which is great. So we, that's why we are, you know, either you can call it an upsell, or we are trying to expand our solution to more like a full digitalized solution for those small to mid-sized restaurants. Yeah, and also we collect the data. That's where the marketing comes from, because with, you know, so right now the digital marketing, you need to do more like targeted marketing, right? I think you guys have a marketing background. So you need some data to start with and to do the marketing. So the data we collect is a great starting point to help the restaurant to marketing. But the marketing is not our biggest focus. We're trying to streamline everything. Streamline everything within, like more on the operation side, efficiency. That's where our focus, you know, like digitalize everything, improve the efficiency, reduce their negative reviews about their operation efficiency. Like I ordered this, but they forgot to add that, you know, reduce all the negative reviews online, improve their capacity. That's a major focus. And the marketing is to get more customers. That's actually not our, we that's maybe the plan in the future, but not the biggest plan right now. Yeah.
But I love the approach though, because it seems like it's almost, even though you're all offering these services, it's almost like an automation from a standpoint, right?
Yeah,
you're streamlining everything and helping the small restaurants be more efficient, and that's really what automation comes in and helps out a lot.
Not every restaurant owner has the capability to make their restaurant as standardized as McDonald's, you know. So need some technology to help that, because standardization is very important. It's essential to run a restaurant. If you don't have that, you have a mistake over here, you have a mistake over there, and then your restaurant just messed up with all those mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just adds up very quickly, and everything is going so quickly in a restaurant if it's not well oiled and everybody knows what they're doing and you know what the process is, it could be really bad.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. So speaking of your business or your marketing, Lucas, what has been the best way for you to get the word out there for your product? And, you know, what have you done the most of, and what have you seen the most success from?
Regarding the marketing about our business, so the biggest lead generation for our business is from referral. So we onboard one business, and then this business use it, the owner likes it, then he refer to the next business, and then the next business refer to others. So the biggest, so that's our focus, because we are not like a big company. We don't have that much of a budget, like, you know, blast all the advertisement on different channels. So we really need to focus on the internal growth of the company. So that's our biggest focus. And then the other major marketing lead generation is from, you know, because it's a self-order kiosk, a restaurant owner might visit some restaurant, then they see it, they use it, they like it, then they will contact us. So this is another way we generate leads from, you know, because the kiosk itself is actually a big advertising machine in there. So it's, you know, like to the businesses. So that's another way we generate leads. And then the third way is we do try to run advertisement on social media. which is great. We run that on Instagram. We have some few, which is great. We got significant more leads than, you know, the natural growth, because of course you pay something and then that's kind of expensive, and we are not really, like, for our company, we are not very professional on doing advertisement on those channels. We have a lot of leads which are actually, we disqualify them because we don't fit each other. And you know, if they are, sometimes we came across a lead with they're doing some different businesses, like a bike shop. They want to rent bikes. But right now we focus on restaurants. You know, they're also a business owner for sure, but they want to rent bikes. But our kiosk cannot rent bikes from the kiosk. You need to sign like a waiver and stuff. We don't have that feature yet. And also sometimes they generate more leads but those are the leads we paid for. So we want a more focused lead than just more like random leads. So we slow down. Doing advertisement on the social media channel. But that's basically how we market our company.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I think referrals, if you can get them, that's the most powerful thing. You know, the most powerful way to market any business is through referrals. You know, I think it is now and it always will be. You know, the most powerful and the cheapest, because if you can get people talking about your product, if they see it in somebody's store and it, you know, they like the way that it looks, they're like, hey, I need this for my restaurant. They already see how it works. They're like, oh, I don't, you know, I already trust this because I just used it. You know, that's really, really powerful. And then outreach too. I mean, I'm a huge fan of just reaching out, cold emailing people and saying, hey, you know, I noticed that you don't have a great, you know, you might be able to use a more automated ordering system in your restaurant, and got this great solution. Love to talk to you about it, that kind of thing. Or to kind of take it as one step up is find the higher level, maybe, you know, find a company who's dealing with your potential customers, who has a large network. I'm not exactly sure how it would work in your case, but you know, basically set up a referral or a partnership with them where they refer business to you and maybe they get a commission, and it's a little bit more like formalized, like a formal partnership type thing and referral system. But it does, so it's just, you just, yeah, it's but that can work really great, and Instagram ads can too. But it's funny, as much as people say, as much as Gary Vaynerchuk is always talking about how hyper targeted you can get on Instagram, which I know you can get targeted, but there's gaps. It's not perfect. It's very, you know, you can get targeted, but only to a certain point. So, like you said, you're getting, it's interesting because you're getting people who are interested in kiosks, but they're not interested in it for the restaurant business. And that may be very, very difficult to actually target and weed out the, you know, the people who aren't interested in it, in your product, for the right reason.
Yeah, of course. It's not, yeah, B2B sales, restaurant B2B sales is one of the hardest. So you need to get more like everything streamlined on the marketing channel and align that with a sales team, and that's how everything can move forward more smoothly. But you know, yeah, just running, so that's why we feel like just simply running an advertisement on social media is not the best way.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, social media is not always the most beneficial for your business either, right? I mean, if you're an actual restaurant, you know, obviously you can leverage social media pretty heavily because you have pictures of food and all this other stuff. And maybe, yeah, you can leverage it to a certain extent to display your kiosk and stuff. But yeah, if you're not seeing a good return on your investment, or you're getting people to fill out or contacts that are reaching out to you and it's not the target market, I mean, obviously, yeah, go the other way and then find out the better marketing methods for your business and have that marketing strategy and marketing plan. You know, if it's an old school method of reaching out, if it's a new school way of utilizing automation and doing that or whatever, man, you know, it's just all about adapting and overcoming things like that, which overcoming is something that really transitions to my next question for you, Lucas, is we all have our entrepreneurial journey as entrepreneurs, but from the highs and the lows that we all go through during that journey, what has been the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur, and how did you move from that? Whether it was a dark place, whatever it was that really challenged you, how did you continue to move on?
I think the most difficult part is you don't know what is the right thing to do. Actually, it's nobody can tell you because you don't want to take the responsibility. Like for us, we are in. So our company was in one of the greatest accelerator program in U Chicago. It's called Polsky Incubator. So we're in there. We got a lot of mentorship from great people. And even though we got all those mentorship, we got all those suggestions, it's still nobody can tell us this is the right thing to do. Like they always say, I suggest you to do this or that. And a lot of people telling us different things. And I believe those are great insights, but you have to make a decision. Like this is my company. Like it's not their company. They give you suggestions, but I have to make a decision. Like that's very hard. For example, I feel like the pricing strategy is then I consult with the vendors and then they give us suggestions, but then you need to make the call. You need to make the correct decision. And, every time you make a bad decision, you have to live with it,
Right. Yeah. It's on you to figure it out and adapt and change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not saying like the companies, people are don't have enough experience in this area, but I'm saying, I feel like that's the biggest challenge of the entrepreneur. You don't know what's the right thing. You don't have a book. You just say, hey, step doing this, step two, do that, and then you will reach step 10. And it's not like that. You don't have that menu. You have to create your own menu book. It's on your own company. Yeah, your condition. So that's the most challenging part.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. Would you do an accelerator again?
Yeah, of course. We actually graduated from that one, and but then it's a COVID, so I don't think all those accelerators are accepting new applications right now, or everything's just go remote, and I think it's just not worth the time with the remote.
Yeah, exactly.
It sucks. It really sucks. Like. You think about it. The COVID. You might think COVID might help us because kiosk ordering is contactless. It's my help to restaurant business. It helps people feel safe, but it's really also damaging us because restaurants are closing. They don't even have the money to operate. They don't have to upgrade. They don't have the money to upgrade. So it's everything's tough during this time, especially in Chicago. It's cold. The winter is coming. It's cold. So, nobody's go out and it's just tough.
I think right now is what's limiting the restaurants too is some of their inability to pivot from where they're currently at, right? We have some local restaurants here that, I do some business with. And the cool thing is the local business, even though they've took a hit in their traditional kitchen from what they actually serve, right? They actually took on a few different ghost kitchens and added because they're really trying to take advantage of delivery and takeout, right? Where it's like, hey, we're going to add these ghost kitchens. We're going to reach out to these restaurants or whatever that will allow us to sell their products inside our location. And they're really leveraging that whole technology with, you got Uber Eats and all these different, delivering places that they'll have, DoorDash and all these other locations that will you can deliver the food. And so they've really been able to pivot the location that I'm working with, and they can't advertise for those ghost kitchens per se. because the businesses will do that for them, but they're finding additional ways to make revenue where I don't think a lot of businesses, you know, they're devastated by, you know, the lack of foot traffic they're getting in. But like, if you can do something like that, if your kitchen, or you look at, okay, well, I have all this space over here, or all this square footage that I can't even utilize right now because of COVID and the restrictions that have been enforced on us by, you know, state officials or whatever it is, the, you know, the government or whoever ends up enforcing it, like really pivot and strategize and figure out ways that you can improve your customer experience, whether that's one, okay, well, I don't even do DoorDash or Uber Eats or any of these other things, that I would advise you to start doing that as a business, a restaurant business, right? I would advise you to start thinking out ways to where, okay, well, people can't come in, but how do I get my food into their hands, or how do I, you know, so I really think it's a lack of creativity in some of, on some extent, but they're also like, well, I don't want to give up 35% to DoorDash or whoever. I don't know what price breakdown it is, but I mean, a lot of businesses aren't willing to part with that stuff. And so, depending on overhead and how much money you're bringing in, you really got to be able to pivot. Or at the end of the day, obviously, yes, some businesses, a lot of restaurants are going out of business, but I think, again, it could be a lack of creativity, but I could be wrong on that side too.
You're right. It's the ghost kitchen, the delivery service is actually the only solution for a lot of restaurants right now, especially the, you know, for the big dine-in businesses, and all the dine-ins are closed, limited, or, you know, those delivery services is their only solution. I hope those restaurants, I have a lot of restaurant friends, they run like great dine-in restaurants. They have to close during the COVID. You know, Chicago has a very strong limitation on how many people can sit in.
Yeah.
Limitation. So they have to like really get along with those delivery companies. And delivery companies, they are doing a very good job right now to not taking too much commission from the restaurants. Because, yeah, and they are also trying to help the local businesses as well. So.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's trying to survive. Yeah, everybody's trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm sure that they can take a little less commission because their volume is going through the roof.
Yeah,
right. So
there is, yeah. And normally they have 30%. Right now they have more than 60% of their the entire revenue of the restaurant. So they
wow.
Yeah. So they keep going up. I hope everything can go back to normal soon.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Especially in that industry. But I mean, you've got a cool product and something that can hopefully help, you know, through this time. It's a good time. You know, I'm sure it's been difficult to sell the product to certain restaurants, but I think the ones that remain and the ones that are willing to invest in their future and adjusting and pivoting, we'll see the value in something like a solution that your product provides.
Yeah. We're confident, and we're trying to go south a little bit. Like north is cold.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, weather gets cold, and people just feel like the business is cold.
Yeah, you guys should go to Austin, set up shop there.
Yeah. I think we're gonna run some kind of program in Texas, as you said, in Texas, in Florida, and see if we can do something over there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and then you can be in it's a good excuse for you to get to a warmer spot too. It's always good.
No, I'm not going to move there. I'm probably going to
how
to create a team over there so that we can actually do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Well, Lucas, it's been great talking to you. And as we wrap up this episode, just one more question. If there's one piece of advice you could offer people out there, what would that be?
For entrepreneurs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think read more books before you start. Read and keep going back to those books. For example, the Lean Startup. I read it. The first time I read it, it gave me a lot of insight. And then I actually read it again, like last week. And I feel like even more insight. Some things that when you first read it, you don't understand. And the more you do your business, and then you go back to those books, and then you'll figure out, oh, a lot of things. Maybe you read it, you think it's important, but you forgot. And or you something you read it, you remember, and then you go back to it, and you will see something that you have more powerful correlation with the business you're doing. So those books are great. And because again, there's no right or wrong answer. So you need to, as an entrepreneur, you need to figure out yourself. So those books are the only guidance that you can rely on. So I just suggest people to read. Like another one is called 0 to 1. They're short books, but a lot of things. Those great people, how they can achieve a great company. I think it's very
And I think that's the thing. And we don't, like you said, there's no manual for entrepreneurs and how to launch a business, how to start something, because everything is a little bit different. Every business is, everybody's got different challenges, but just being inspired by other people's stories and journeys and learning kind of the some of the things that they've done. I've read things in those kind of books where I'm just like, that's genius. And it's the simplest, could be the simplest little thing. Yeah. And it's just like, how did I not think of that before? But it, it takes just reading about, and learning from other entrepreneurs. I mean, kind of like the way that we have entrepreneurs like yourself on here, because we also want to, share with the entrepreneurial community, what's working for other people, what's not working, and kind of all learn in this shared experience. So, that's just another way. Reading those books is just another way to get that kind of experience and information. It's a great idea.
Yeah. And as entrepreneurs, we don't know what we don't know. Right. And so it is good to dig down into a book from time to time, listen to an audio book, something that whatever you're good at, right. Some of them just don't like reading. Some of us like listening more. Some of us like YouTube videos, whatever it is, getting in there and watching, reading, and then you might not understand everything that's being said. Like you said, you go back and you read it again. Because I know when I started reading initially, I was like, man, this, a lot of it makes sense because I understand English, right? But I mean, how does this is going to really, like, is this even important right now? Probably not. And so, yeah. And so once you go through the steps as an entrepreneur and then you go back to these books and start reading it again, it's like, man, this is really relevant to what I'm going through right now. Or this could be a solution if I, start doing this, or look at it. And I really think it's all about positive affirmations too. I mean, these books have a lot of wisdom in it, and you getting that positive message from that book helps you become better in your headspace too, right? To where you can be more positive and, on the outlook, or when you're going through hard times, like, well, this person went through this adversity and they came out on the other end. And it's always the feel good story of, okay, man, how they overcome their struggles and now they're here. And again, I think all that stuff is good to dig into and read for sure and learn from and take bits and pieces that really are relevant to what you're currently doing. Well, Lucas, man, I think that's a wrap for this episode. And from the both of us, man, we want to thank you for taking the time of your day to join us and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
Yeah, it's been great to have you on, Lucas. Guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Lucas is working on, check out his website at infi.us. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. And you can find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
With that said, we want to also quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.